Good morning, Kansas City, and welcome to Kansas City Christian Faith Center radio broadcast. This is Dr. Michelle McIntosh, First Lady of this church, and I will be teaching while my husband, Pastor McIntosh, is on sabbatical. He is scheduled to return June 2019. We thank you for joining us and trust that this time together will be a blessing to all our listeners. If you live in the Kansas City area, please join us in a live Sunday service from 2 to 3:30 p.m. Our services are currently being held at 1721 North 9th Street in Kansas City, Kansas, 66101. It is our sincere desire that you live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. Amen.
Family, let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this awesome day that you have made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. We thank you for this opportunity to come together once again to study your word, to hear your word, to be your word. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that's here to guide us, to encourage us, to teach us. Holy Spirit, have your way. Think through my mind, speak through my lips, that I would speak God's word with clarity and accuracy, so God's people will continue to grow from faith to faith. Satan, we remind you right now that you're defeated and under our feet. You cannot cause any confusion, strife, or discord in the mighty name of Jesus. And as always, Father, we give you all the praise, all the glory, all the honor in that name that is above every name, the name of our Savior and soon returning King, Jesus the Christ. And the people of God say, Amen. Family, let's continue with our new teaching that we started 2 weeks ago entitled, Prosperity for God's People. I believe that every Christian will enjoy and benefit from this important teaching because it will elevate you to a better financial position in life and cause you to be a greater blessing to others. If you dare to believe and by faith apply the biblical principles we will be discussing throughout this teaching. Again, I remind you that this teaching is primarily for Christians. This corrupt economical world system that we live under is not designed for Christians to prosper. Satan's evil system is intentionally designed to keep people in poverty, living from paycheck to paycheck, and in financial debt. However, if we take the time to study what God's word has to say about financial prosperity, we will find out that Christians can live above this corrupt economical system that Satan has in place. God's plan for our financial prosperity is not limited by the success of the stock market or who is in control of our White House or if you got that well-deserved salary increase. God will use these channels to bless his people. But remember, God is our source of wealth and not this corrupt world system. God's word clearly tells us that we should not only be wealthy, but financiers of the kingdom of God. This study will consist of 6 parts. An introduction, which we finished last week. Part 1 entitled, Poverty, Satan's Plan to Keep Christians Ineffective, which we started last week. Part 2, the law of sowing and reaping. Part 3, the blessing of Abraham. Part 4, how to activate the blessing. And part 5, seed time and harvest. Listener, if this is your first time with us, we welcome you and ask that you please go to our website at kccfc.net to hear the first episodes of this teaching now archived under our radio broadcast page. We do not want you to have a gap of information on this critical teaching. You may also give us your comments and or questions by way of our website at any time. We welcome them all. Please note that I will be quoting from the New King James Bible translation unless otherwise stated. Let's continue with part 1 entitled, Poverty, Satan's Plan to Keep Christians Ineffective. For those that were with me last week know that I misquoted the title of this part and in error said, Poverty, God's Plan. Because there is much confusion about prosperity in the body of Christ, I want to make sure I did not contribute to the confusion with this misquote. Listener, I want to make it clear that poverty is a perversion of prosperity and Satan is the author of poverty, not God. Again, Satan is the author of poverty, not God. We will talk more about this statement as we continue with this teaching. As a reminder, I want to once again state that God's prosperity is not only about money, but it most definitely includes walking in financial prosperity all the days of our life. This teaching is not about spiritual prosperity or physical prosperity. These topics are important too and have their place in God's Word. But this study is on financial prosperity, which I believe has not been sufficiently addressed in the church today. This biblical study is about Christians claiming their legal right to God's riches on this earth and living in financial abundance. Now let's move forward. Last week I started to answer the question, is God poor? Before I ran out of time, we were reading from Revelation chapter 21 regarding the New Jerusalem. I explained in detail that this exquisite tabernacle is not God's home, but merely a meeting place for God and man in that day. Today, I want us to continue by rereading verses 10 through 16 and finish this passage by reading through verse 21. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21, verses 10 through 21. Keep in mind that all that I'm about to share with you from the scriptures is to answer the question, is God poor? Again, Revelation 21, verses 10 through 21. Verse 10 says, "And he, the angel, carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Also, she had a great and high wall with 12 gates, and 12 angels at the gates, and names written on them, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel." Verse 13. "Three gates on the east, three gates on the north, three gates on the south, and three gates on the west. Now the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he who talked with me had a gold reed to measure the city, its gates, and its wall. The city is laid out as a square. Its length is as great as its breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. Its length, breadth, and height are equal. Then he measured its wall, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of an angel. The construction of its wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold like clear glass. Verse 19, the foundations of the wall of the city were adorned with all kinds of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth emerald, verse 20, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh crystallite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, the tenth chrysoprase, the 11th jacinth, and the 12th amethyst. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was a one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass." Wow. Family, we are talking about a very rich and beautiful ordained or adorned city. But let's continue. This passage is so amazing because it tells us that our future meeting room with God is not only enormous, but richly designed. And so that you get a better understanding of the construction of this beautiful meeting room, I want to share with you what some of these measurements are in today's terms. In verse 16, the city is described in furlongs, and one furlong is equal to 660 feet. So if you equate this to miles, you have a city that is 1,500 miles on each side. and 1,500 miles high. This is roughly the distance between Kansas City, Missouri to Los Angeles, California. This is one big meeting room. In verse 17, the thickness of the wall is said to be 144 cubits. A cubit is about 1.5 feet, which equals 72 yards. Each wall had 12 layers, or foundations, 125 miles high, consisting of 12 precious jewels. Now, I'm no expert jeweler, family. However, these walls made of precious stones, including topaz, emerald, amethyst, and sapphire, would constitute wealth beyond anyone's imagination. We read in verses 18 and 21 that the city and the street is pure gold. Remember, this is a city 1,500 miles square of pure gold. Then we see that there are 12 gates, and I think we can safely assume that each gate is as tall as the wall it is attached to. And the scriptures say that each one of these 12 gates consists of a single giant pearl. Try to imagine a pearl 1,500 feet tall. My goodness. Let me say it again. This is all going to be the New Jerusalem here on earth. This is not God's house. If this is what we get here on earth, the wealth of God's palace in heaven must be so overwhelming and beyond God's comprehension, or rather man's comprehension, that God didn't even show it to John. Although we cannot see heaven or where God lives, we can get some understanding of it in what the Lord revealed to John about the New Jerusalem. It's a city of such astounding, fantastic wealth that it boggles the mind of man. Our living God is not poor. Now, all that I have read in the book of Revelation and have tried to describe to you in modern terms is of a future place. And some of you might be saying, how does all of this affect me today? Well, I'm glad that you have asked, because what I'm about to share with you are examples recorded in the Bible under the Old Testament, and the very same precious metals and stones that will be used in the New Jerusalem were used in the ancient times. Let's look at these examples now. All throughout the Old Testament, God was showing his people how to use his created wealth to honor him and live in a blessed state. In Exodus chapter 12, verses 31 through 42, God told Moses to lead the people of Israel out of Egypt, where they were being held as slaves. And just as important, God gave the Israelites instructions to obtain financial wealth from the Egyptians before their exit. Here's where we want to go. Let's go to Exodus chapter 12, and we're going to read verses 35 through 36. Again, Exodus 12. Verses 35 and 36. Verse 35 says, "Now the children of Israel had done according to the word of Moses, and they had asked from the Egyptians articles of silver, articles of gold, and clothing." Verse 36, "And the Lord had given the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they granted them what they requested. Thus they plundered the Egyptians." Now, family, I want to point out some very important things that are going on in these two verses, because we're talking about a group of people that have been enslaved by the Egyptians. So now Pharaoh is allowing the Israelites to go into the wilderness to worship God, and not only to go and worship him, but to take all of their children and all of their livestock and possessions. So now they're headed into the wilderness. But look at God. He does not want them to go with empty hands. So notice in verse 35 what God told Moses to instruct the people of Israel to do. They were to go to the Egyptian and to say to them, that they needed silver, gold, and clothing. Then in verse 36, it says, and the Lord had given the people favor. See, this is why it's so important for us to follow God's instructions, to depend on Him and not mankind, because man will disappoint. We have many things in this earth realm that have already been perverted. But when we have the favor of God, we have what God says we have, not what man says we have. So it says here that the Lord gave the people of Israel favor in the sight of the Egyptians, and the Egyptians granted their request. In other words, they gave them those articles of silver, articles of gold, and articles of clothing. Now listen to this last part of verse 36. Thus they plundered the Egyptians. Now for those of us that don't use that word plunder too often, it means to raid or ravish. So this is what happened when the slaves, Israel, left the Egyptian nation and followed God's instructions. I want to point that out so that it is clear to us listeners, because God wants His people to follow His rule, to follow His words, because He has a better place for us. Remember the title of this teaching, Prosperity for God's People. So we're going to have to pay attention to what God is telling us in His word and then step out in faith and do what He's called us to do. All right, I want us to look at another example in the Old Testament where God instructed Israel to use the valuable resources He created to fashion a tabernacle, its furnishings, and priestly garments. In Exodus chapters 25 through 28, God gives Israel the precise pattern on how to make these articles and what precious metals, stones, wood, and cloth to use. Gold, silver, and bronze were heavily used to decorate the tabernacle and the Ark of the Testimony. The priestly garments were adorned with precious stones and fine cloth of specific colors. Only the very best materials were used to create the Ark, tabernacle, its furnishings, and priestly garments. God's meeting place with man under the Old Testament was richly designed and made from the beautiful material resources God created for us. Here is another example of God wanting man to use what He created for us on earth. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 25, verses 1 through 8. Again, Exodus 25, 1 through 8. Verse 1 says, then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel that they bring me an offering from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart. You shall take my offering. And this is the offering which you shall take from them: gold, silver, and bronze, blue, purple, and scarlet thread, fine linen and goat's hair, ram skins, dyed red, badger skins, and acacia wood, oil for the light, and spices for the anointing oil, for the sweet incense, onyx stones, and stones to be set in the ephod and in the breastplate. And let them make me a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them. Now, in verse number 2, I want to point out some very important information, because this giving unto the Lord transcends just Old Testament. And we're going to find that out later on in this lesson. But when we give unto the Lord with a willing heart, then we can expect an abundant return on our giving. In verse 2 of this passage, I want to highlight that one more time. It says, speak to the children of Israel that they may bring me, that's the Heavenly Father, an offering. Now, giving an offering takes faith. It requires the person to give of their goods unto the Lord. We're going to be talking more about this later, but I just want to point it out here because it's specifically addressed to the Old Testament saints. Then it goes on to say, from everyone who gives it willingly with his heart, you shall take my offering. Not only do you bring the offering unto the Lord, but your heart should be willing. Sometimes we do things because the word of God says so, and we do it grudgingly. But this is not what God wants from his people. He wants us to not only do it by faith, but with love. We're going to be talking more about that shortly. Let's continue. Keep in mind that God Almighty created all of these wonderful materials requested as an offering. So man is not giving God anything that he did not belong to God in the beginning. Again, God gave mankind dominion over this earthly inheritance for our pleasure and purpose. But please note that it is clear in this passage, as it is throughout the Bible, that God wants us to give back to him a portion of the goods to honor him with a loving offering. We will be talking more about giving unto the Lord and doing it by faith in latter parts of this teaching. So for now, let's continue with one more Old Testament example. Here is my last Old Testament example of extreme wealth in the hands of man. The Bible says that King Solomon was the wealthiest man on earth at that time, and it was a result of his desire to please God by ruling God's people with wisdom. Let's go to 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. The Lord is speaking to Solomon. Again, 1 Kings chapter 3, verses 12 and 13. Verse 12 says, "Behold, I have done according to your words. See, I have given you a wise and understanding heart, so that there has not been anyone like you before you, nor shall any like you arise after you." Verse 13. "And I have also given you what you have not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be anyone like you among the kings all your days." Family, what a blessing. Let me just highlight again some very key, important parts to this scripture. Starting with verse number 12, it says that God honored Solomon's requests, and he gave them wise and an understanding heart. So he had wisdom and an understanding heart. Then in verse 13, as a result of his, and I'm referring to Solomon now, Solomon's request was not for riches, but God honored the heart of this man. And as a result of him asking for wisdom, God said both riches and honor will be part of your life. Wow. I truly hope that our political officials are listening into this program today, because these two verses let them know that if they would only desire to do right for the people of the nation and call on our living God for wisdom, they too would be blessed financially beyond measure. Now, listener, if you are wondering if God honored his words, let's turn to 1 Kings chapter 10. In this chapter, the Queen of Sheba's visit is recorded and her praise of the king. I want us to read 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. The Queen of Sheba is speaking to King Solomon. Again, 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 6 and 7. Verse 6 says, "Then she said to the king, 'It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me. Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard.'" Let me point out again some very important points in verse 6 and 7. First of all, King Solomon's inheritance, his wisdom and his riches, had gone throughout the land. People knew about Solomon. And it says in verse 6 that Queen Sheba said that it had reached her ears in her own land. Verse number 7. But then she says, "What I heard was not half what I see." In other words, Once she came to visit King Solomon physically, she was even more impressed, and only a portion of what Solomon had was spoken to her. And then she goes on to say, "Your wisdom and prosperity exceeds the fame of which I heard." I want to point out both things, but especially because of this teaching, wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame. Family, this is what we can expect. Prosperity and wisdom when we follow God's word. Let's continue. This statement made by royalty to royalty holds great weight because the rich are not easily impressed. The Queen of Sheba was accustomed to a rich lifestyle, but she said that King Solomon's prosperity exceeded his fame. More importantly, Solomon's prosperity was God's will and his doing. Christians, I don't know where... Oh, family, I am so sorry. My time is up. Please return next week as we continue with our teaching, Prosperity for God's People.
Thank you for sharing this time with us. And if this message has been a blessing to you, please consider supporting this ministry with a financial offering. You may send your tax-deductible gift to Kansas City Christian Faith Center at P.O. Box 171431, Kansas City, Kansas 66117, or visit our website at kccfc.net and give online. Until next Wednesday morning, we love you and confess in faith that you will live in victory, spirit, soul, and body. In Jesus' name, amen.